I invite you now to join me in the spirit of meditation. Imagine a congregation. Imagine a congregation where people welcome, accept, and support one another, encourage each other's spiritual growth, drawing the circle of care ever wider to include those in need, both within the congregation and in the larger community. Imagine a congregation filled with people who are enthusiastic, compassionate, generous, and joyful, grounded in a history of truth-telling and justice-making, confident in what they stand for as they work to put their principles into action. Imagine people using their gifts, open minds, open hearts, and open hands to give their values life, clarifying their message and finding ways to get that message out into the larger community, offering hospitality in a clear path to getting involved to those who are searching for what they've found here. Children, youth, and adults worshiping, singing, and learning together, deepening their connections with Unitarian Universalist principles and the sources that ground them, exploring new ways to put those principles into practice in their relationships with each other, and strengthening their connections with the larger community, and organizing multi-generational social justice projects that involve the whole congregation, and offering community programs in the service of their values. Imagine walking among these people. What do you see? What do you hear? What's it like to be part of this congregation? As you begin to feel what it would be like to belong to this congregation, you realize that this is the congregation that you belong to. These are the people that you belong to. Now imagine running into a friend you haven't seen for a long time and getting into a conversation about this congregation, what people experience, what people value, what people do here together, what the church stands for, and what it's working to accomplish. And as you tell your friend about your congregation and what it's doing, what it's hoping to do, it's as though it's already happening, and you can see how the church has become the congregation that you'd imagined, and you can capture that image as a picture or a sound or a feeling. Capture that image as a fragment that holds within it the seed of the vision you imagine, like a photograph captures an image of some event, or like a metaphor holds within it the truth of an image. That image, my friends, already exists in the hearts and minds of the people who share your vision, your values. What will it take to realize that vision? What are the gifts you bring that can help make that vision a reality? This is by sharing the offering that we collect each week with a community organization that shares our values. This week, the plate will be shared with the Nashua Soup Kitchen and Shelter, an organization dedicated to providing shelter and food for those in need. Their overall objective is to advocate, create, and operate programs before, and perhaps by the time I leave this congregation, you may even have it memorized. I think it's that important. It is a reading called Turning to One Another, and it was written by Margaret Wheatley. There is no power greater than a community discovering what it cares about. Ask what's possible, not what's wrong. Keep asking. Notice what you care about and assume that many others share your dreams. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Talk to people you know. Talk to people you don't know. Talk to people you never talk to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear and expect to be surprised. Treasure curiosity more than certainty. Invite in everyone who cares to work on what's possible. Acknowledge that everyone is an expert at something. Know that creative solutions come from new connections. And remember, you don't fear people whose story you know. Real listening always brings people closer together. Trust that meaningful conversations can change your world. Rely on human goodness. And for heaven's sake, stay together. Here ends the reading. I want to thank Joe for sharing such a heartfelt reflection on his experience here in this congregation. I think it really speaks to what's at the heart of the matter. When we talk about pledging and giving and bringing all of ourselves and who we are and what we care about to this place and growing it. And it's very literal when we grow our children from young children to these big people who are so articulate and so well-spoken. But I want to start this morning by telling you a true story. The meeting had been called to dissolve the historic Universalist Church of the Good Shepherd. It was a nice little church with a pretty little building, but people were tired. Tired of giving money, tired of raising money, trying to keep the church alive, and trying to get new people to join. The meeting started promptly. The discussion went as everyone had expected. Too much trouble. Too much work. We're tired. It seemed as if the decision would be unanimous. People nodded and agreed there was nothing else to do but close the church. The chair of the meeting asked, "Does anyone else have anything to add to this discussion?" He looked left. He looked right. So did everyone else. Silently, they thought, "Oh, good. We are all in agreement." Then, from a row towards the back, a woman who was quite old raised her hand to be recognized. As her hand went up, people's bodies jumped as though a little spark had run through them. They stirred in their seats. Several whispered, "What will she say?" Gwendolyn Willis was a professor of classics at a nearby university. And the chair recognized her, and she stood. She said, "My name is Gwendolyn Brown Willis. I was raised in this church. My questions and my faith have lived in this building. My mother, Olympia Brown, was its minister for 9 years. Her dreams built this church from an idea to a reality. The work of her hands, heart, and soul gave me a universal faith in humanity and the goodness of God." Now, how many of you here know who Olympia Brown was and know something of her story? Probably many of you. For those of you who don't, Olympia Brown was the first woman to graduate from theological school ever. She graduated from a Universalist seminary, St. Lawrence University, in 1863. Yeah. She went on to become the first woman ordained to full-time ordained ministry in our tradition, and I think in any tradition. Needless to say, she was a strong advocate for women's rights, and she was also probably one of the first supermoms trying to balance parish ministry, her work as a suffragette, and her family life. Well, Dr. Willis continued, "We need to reclaim our dreams, our faith, and our hope." She paused and said, "I will not let you close my mother's church." The air was changed. "She's right," they all whispered. "I remember," they said. Gwendolyn Brown Willis sat down. The tenor of the meeting had changed. Gwendolyn Willis Brown had challenged the listeners. Within a few minutes, the discussion turned to, how much will it take for us to keep going? Can we raise the money? Let's not let our church die. We have to keep our hopes and dreams alive. We can do whatever it takes to keep this church going. Let's do it. Well, the Church of the Good Shepherd changed its name, but it did not close its doors. Today, the Olympia Brown Unitarian Universalist Church in Racine, Wisconsin, still honors Olympia Brown's legacy. But how could one woman have so radically altered the course of that church's future? And I'm not talking about Olympia now, I'm talking about her daughter. I'd like to think that it had to do with that little jolt, that spark of recognition, rekindling the flame of inspiration that ran through the congregation when Gwendolyn Brown Willis's hand went up. They all knew what she was going to say, right? They knew who she was. They knew what she was holding. And actually what they all shared. That flame, though, was being smothered under the weight of trying to maintain the organization without attending to those embers, those sparks at the heart of the church. What was at the heart of the flame? It was the life-saving and life-affirming message of universalism. The call to love by a love that holds us all. A love that connects us to each other and to all that is. A love that says all are worthy. A love that says all are welcome. Love was the flame burning brightly at the heart of Olympia Brown's faith and her ministry. She passed it on to her daughter and to that entire congregation. And to an entire faith tradition, for that matter. But her daughter, Gwendolyn Willis Brown, Brown Willis, challenged the members of her congregation to rekindle, to feed that fire, to fuel that flame of love, to nurture it, to work for it, and to protect it. The organization was meant to be a means, not an end, in and of itself. She challenged them to feed the sparks at the heart of their universalist heritage. A heritage we share. The flame of human dignity, the flame of community, the flame of welcome and belonging, the flame of justice and peace, the flame of service. It was the fire of commitment to that faith that gave the congregation the light that they needed, the energy that they needed to see the way ahead. Well, last month, 44 of you gathered in Barnum Hall to share stories about the most life-giving experiences you've had here in this congregation. And I'm telling you, from where I was standing, the energy in the room was palpable. There were lots of little jolts, little sparks of energy flying around the room as you shared what's at the heart of this congregation. You didn't talk about organizational maintenance. You talked about the importance of being part of a welcoming, affirming community. You talked about learning and growing together. You talked about the importance of working together towards your common goals. You described an abundance of care and compassion, an abundance of curiosity, and an abundance of commitment to the values that you share. Those stories and the little sparks they represent are what pledging is all about, my friends. Pledging is about lifting up the things that are most important about this congregation and making a commitment to use your gifts to help feed those flames. Maintaining the building and paying for staff are important because they're fuel for those sparks that inspire our giving. They give them shape. They help them grow. But that's just part of it. It's when we take a deeper look that we find the sparks of life-giving inspiration and all of the ways that we all contribute to feeding those flames. I like to use the word stewardship to describe this process. Stewards take care of what's at the heart of things, what really matters. I've always been a bit of a pyromaniac. And so I really love the idea of sitting by a fire and starting with the little embers, feeding it the tiny sticks, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You have to pay attention to it. You have to make sure it has fuel, and you have to make sure it has air. Or what happens? It dies, right? It's a process of being consistent, constant, vigilant, present. The Reverend Tom Owens Toole writes, "Stewards have been assigned a watch, like sitting by a precious fire. They are entrusted with our legacy in a place where it comes to them, to handle it with exceeding reverence and care, to shape it while allowing it to shape them, and then to keep the gift moving." We are entrusted to be movers and shapers of the gifts entrusted to us by those who came before us. Gifts that live on in our experiences. Gifts we're entrusted with to pass on to those who have yet to experience the warmth of the fire that we all gather around. It's pretty cold out there. We know how warm it is in here. How can we invite others to come and join us? That's part of our legacy, sharing the warmth of our fire with those who haven't found it yet. Gwendolyn Brown Willis was entrusted with the spark of her mother's legacy. She kept that flame burning brightly, tending it with great reverence and care. It was an important part of her life, all her life. She fed it with her life, shaping it as it shaped her. She kept that flame burning brightly in the hearts and minds of her community, encouraging them to care for it, work for it, and pass it on. So this morning marks the beginning of this year's pledge drive, and immediately following the service, or at noontime, I guess, there will be a meeting in Emerson, where there will also be a lovely luncheon served as well. But you'll have an opportunity to learn more about the nuts and bolts of the financial side, and also the hope and dream side, I think a little bit of each, what kind of fuel this place needs to keep it going. But I want to suggest that the pledge drive is an important part of being good stewards. It's a bigger process than just the pledge drive. It's something we do all year long in many different ways to tend and care for and pull in and feed and fuel. Those types of activities happen all the time. They aren't just confined to 1 month out of the year. So we're all called to be stewards of these little sparks, these embers that feed us all the time as part of this, being part of this congregation. And your gifts are the fuel for the fire. This congregation would not be the congregation it is, the congregation it can be, without each and every one of you. And I'll venture to say some of you that aren't even here this morning. My question to you this morning is, What is it that you're feeding? What is it that you want to feed? What's the spark, the legacy that you want to tend with love and care? How have you given it shape? How has it shaped you? And how will you pass it on to those who come after you? This one tiny example that seems quite relevant this morning is the opportunity to be part of all of these marches that are happening next Saturday, whether you're in Nashua or Concord or Portsmouth or Portland or Boston, all over the country and probably all over the globe. There will be people gathering together to fight for the lives of children, to fight for the dignity of humanity, to fight for peace. Those are things that we value, fires that we want to tend. I'm very glad to have the opportunity to be with some of you in Nashua next Saturday to do that. I think it's important that we do these things in community. And so one of the things that I hope we can do together is find more ways to participate in tending these fires and fueling these fires together as part of this community in the larger community. That's just one tiny way we might do that. I'd like to close with another one of my favorite poems written by Donna Markova. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit. My fondest hope for all of you, my dear friends, is that this congregation can help you nurture those seeds and pass them on. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen.